Well, you had a blistering long meeting last night. Just a lot of agenda items, basically, and a lot of things you had to discuss, right?
A lot of agenda items, a lot of big important things for our community. So that's.
So let's just kind of go through and hit the highlights here. And I highlighted some things. If I skip something that you want to talk about, you want to talk about item D.
Yes, item D is approval of reappointments to the Planning Commission, and I always like to call those out and say thank you to the folks who were reappointing. They serve with really no reward at all other than our thanks, and we're reappointing Lee Davies, who is a local architect, Kathleen Matthews, who is works for one of the local banks, and Emily Worrell, who works with a state committee who's working on improvement across the state, and they're all reappointed to Planning Commission, two of them for their third term, I believe, and one for their second term. So we appreciate their service to the Planning Commission and our city thereby. They have to make tough decisions and have to ask some really strange questions on the Planning Commission one time to ferret out what's really going on with land and developers. So we appreciate their efforts.
Are these unpaid positions then?
That is correct. They're entirely volunteer.
So, I mean, they're making a sacrifice. They're giving up their time. About how many hours per week would you say they're spending on the
Well, it probably depends on how contentious the issues on the Planning Commission are. When we have something that's pretty contentious, they can spend a lot of time receiving phone calls, emails, communicating with the public on what's going on and why it's going on, what the rules are, that sort of thing. The meetings themselves, the Planning Commission typically only meets once a month. It's usually somewhere between an hour and 2 hours. And so it's not uncommon for a Planning Commission member to probably spend somewhere between 4 and 5 hours a month dealing with Planning Commission issues when it's fairly neutral.
All right. Good to know, and good to have those people that are willing to do that and be involved in their community, for sure. I wanted to ask you about the item above that. You were authorized to execute the high-intensity drug trafficking area known as HITA initiative. What is that exactly?
This is a really a grant application, and each year we apply. I think we've applied for this grant every year that I've been mayor, and they probably did it for many years before and probably will continue to do it. And what it does is it brings in additional revenue to help fund not only our local police force, but there is the cooperative operation or the code enforcement, and that is a group of area law enforcement across the state. Everybody from the FBI to the local sheriff, they all work together on drug enforcement in this region. They've been quite effective over the past few they've been quite effective for a long time, but they've been especially effective over the last few years because we've put a lot of intensity on trying to reduce the drugs that are flowing through our community in the area.
So you say applying for a grant, about how much money then? If that's approved, how much money flows in from that?
I don't recall what the exact amount is, but it is in the thousands of dollars because it helps to pay for additional salaries and resources associated with drug and addiction and things like that. So
extra hours, basically, that the department has.
And
to
it can
spend
be
re- on
it
that.
Can be occasionally used for resources such as drones or something like that to help with the task force as well.
Okay. So. I was just interested to find out.
I can look that up and let you know. I just don't remember what number was on the sheet last night when I was signing in. So,
you approved another appointment last evening, Kevin Mees, as Director of Information Systems.
Correct. Kevin is a longtime employee of the Information Systems Department, City of North Platte, and the previous director left probably about 5 months ago, and Kevin has been filling in on that role, and he's been doing a really nice job. So with input from the council, we decided to appoint him to the actual position, and we look forward to his service.
You do a nice job. You're going to move your title from interim to permanent, I guess, huh?
That's right.
That's your reward.
That's your reward. Get a little more pay and a lot more hassle. That's how it works.
The rest of the consent agenda dealt with special designated liquor licenses for various things. Coming up, St. Pat's Knights Columbus, they have an event coming up in the church parking lot, and then Music on the Bricks. You always get some for that special event. Anything, you know, where liquor isn't normally served, they have to get these licenses, right?
That's right. That is correct. And Music on the Bricks has become, I don't know how many years we've been doing Music on the Bricks. I know it's been occurring the entire time I've been mayor, and I think for several years before that. But it's a locally run festival, lasts for a couple days, and they bring in some really nice bands, and the public seems to really enjoy it. People have a great time, and they have a dance on the street and sit around and enjoy the music in the lawn chairs. And sometimes the weather is beautiful, and sometimes it's like the first week of the fair. So, we hope that people get out there and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm. And they had one back in May?
Yeah, they do it twice a year. They do it kind of one in the early, late spring and one in the late summer.
Yep. So, good opportunity there. And on the regular agenda, you had the first reading and action on an ordinance to provide a procedure for determining equitable service charges to be levied on all users which discharge wastewater to the wastewater system operated by the city of North Platte. So, shorten that up for us. What's the deal on that?
Well, and so begins the complex portion of our interview today. Mm-hmm. Really, the next three items all have to do with the city's new industrial wastewater plant. This particular item number two, is the ordinance that creates the sort of bounds, parameters by which customers of the industrial wastewater plant. Now, most of us, when we flush the toilet or take a shower, we're using the municipal water plant, which is they're right beside each other, but it's a physically separate plant. And this new industrial wastewater plant is if you drive out towards Newberry Access, you can't miss it. It's where all the cranes are. They're in the process of building it right now. And the principal user of it at opening and right now will be sustainable beef, and they're already using it to some extent. And so we're putting this ordinance in place. That's what ordinance number 4214 is it sets the bounds and the parameters by which those industrial users can use it, how much they can put into it, and how much they will be charged to use it by the city. So what they have to pay for.
Do they have to pay a higher rate since they're a business? On that, or
the rates are much different in the industrial sewer side than they are in the public sewer side. The sustainable beef, any user of the industrial wastewater plant, and we just slide into item number three because that's the actual contract with sustainable beef for use. And what you have is the ordinance that sort of sets what the parameters are, and then you have any industrial user of any size will have a direct contract with, and it'll stipulate what they can, in what volumes and in what size of material they can put into the industrial wastewater plant, because you have to monitor that very closely, because it comes out in some form, and we want to be putting out clean water to the next plant down the line. So then item number three then specifies the contract, and inside that contract talks about what they have to pay for. And since the industrial plant is brand new, and not only are we paying for the plant to be constructed, they also have to pay for the use of the plant, because the city has to hire another FTE at least. We may end up hiring two, we're not sure yet, but to actually run the plant.
Okay.
And then you have what is really the debt service on the building of the plant. Mm-hmm. And Sustainable Beef, as they are the only user of the plant, has to pay for both of those things.
Does someone have to be at the plant at all times, basically?
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because it runs operations really all through the night.
And that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and when you think about it, in the case of, this may not be true for future users, but in the case of Sustainable Beef, the current, they work all day, and then when they clean the plant, which is at the end of the day, so in the 4 to 8 o'clock p.m. range is when that plant gets cleaned, that's when all the majority of the water that is filled with unpleasant stuff comes over to the industrial wastewater plant.
Okay.
And so then it starts its processes at night, and a lot of it works through at night. And the way that industrial sewer systems work is you get the water to a certain clean point, and then you put that water through your municipal system, which does sort of the final cleaning on it, and then it exits the plant. And the timing of all that is important, so it works out well that Sustainable Beef is putting their dirty water in the evening, because the industrial plant works on it all night and part of the day, And when we here in North Platte get up at 5 a.m. and start taking our showers on the west end of town or wherever we live, that water arrives at the municipal plant somewhere around 9 o'clock in the morning. That's how long it takes it to get across town. So that, that plant works on that city water most of the day. And somewhere around the end of the day, the industrial plant then releases its stuff into the municipal plant when the city is mostly done with its water processing. So there's a lot of timing involved in there, and I'm
very interesting.
Yeah, I'm sure I have not stated it 100% correctly, and Doug that runs the plant out there is probably sitting there rolling his eyes saying that's not what I told you, but it is very close to the timing is critical in how we work all these things. The one thing to mention as you get into item number four here is it's the bonds, which is it's a pretty big number there that we're bonding to make this happen.
$58 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And and $5 million of that is for some improvements to the municipal plant itself that the city ultimately pays for. But the rest of it is for the industrial plant. And again, Sustainable Beef makes the debt service payment on that. So this is not costing the taxpayers of North Platte anything.
Good to know.
We also required Sustainable Beef to gain a surety bond in case their revenues are not what they should be and they're unable to make their payments, then we can access that surety bond to make their debt payment. Now, we don't believe that will be an issue at all. I don't think that's going to be a problem for us, but it's there to protect the citizens of the community, and they have to pay for that surety bond every year for the first 10 years
of their operation. Otherwise, I mean, if something would happen to Sustainable Beef and they weren't able to pay it, then you'd have to... The city would have to pick up the tab.
Yes,
that, right?
That's correct. Well, there's lots of, ultimately, yes, that's true, but there's lots of moves we would make before we would ever get to that point. So the surety bond, at a minimum, covers 3 years of payments. And then the bond itself has an additional year. So theoretically, in the worst case scenario, we could go 4 years of payments without anything, without affecting the taxpayers at all. A brand new beef plant, though, I can tell you, if something horrible happens, it would be bought up and there would be something in there within a year. But the surety bond is just there to protect everybody concerned so that the community can feel comfortable that they're not going to incur that debt.
Got it.
And so that's why it's there.
Got it. Then on item five, you were authorized to negotiate and sign contracts for professional services with HDR for the construction phase engineering for the industrial wastewater plant.
HDR is the company that has ultimately designed the wastewater plant, and since it's under construction, you have to we have to pay them for things like construction monitoring, shop drawings, and at some point here in about a year, they'll be doing the startup on the plant, on the actual plant itself. It's kind of in an interim state right now, and when the actual plant starts up, it's quite a process. You have to get the biology right, and so we need the engineers to do that. So that's the funding that ultimately pays them to do that. So.
All right, let's talk about things other than wastewater.
Okay, it's a yucky discussion.
Yes, it is. So six, you adopted the resolution, approved addendum to amended redevelopment contract for the North Platte Mall project.
Correct. I started last night's meeting by saying, hold on, everybody, this is going to be quite a meeting. Mm-hmm. And this was the second sort of complex issue that we went to address. And the remodel of the old the North Platte Mall, which is now designated as District 177, has been quite a process for the city of North Platte. And it's been right through a pandemic, massive interest rates, doubling inflation. Yep. I mean, you almost couldn't have picked a worse situation, short of a war, that they've been trying to improve this project through. And they've been reasonably successful, but again, not without some issues. You know, we had to forestall the discussion of another EA extension last year because it became apparent that some of the contractors had not been paid in a timely manner. And so the city stopped discussing things with the developer until they got all that cleared up. And a couple of the contractors went to the courts, and you know, the city backed off and said, "That's if you're in the courts, let the courts just make the decisions here." And I think most of that's been resolved at this point. But anyway, to proceed with the mall, what I hear from most of the citizens of North Platte is that they really want retail. It's something I hear on a very regular basis from people is, when are we getting a new store? Or, you know, myself included, I love a new restaurant. I like to try a new food.
Yeah.
You can tell by looking at my belly. But
yeah.
we we love those things, and I think a lot of people take some pride in what their community has to offer in terms of retail, restaurants, yeah, that sort of thing. That they really enjoy that. So I hear all the time, you know, what are we going to do for retail? And I said when I'm running for mayor, I will always support things that are making our community grow. I mean, there's probably a couple lines there somewhere, but generally speaking, things that are making our community grow, we're going to try to make happen. And what we were doing last night, and this item number 6 really had to do with the extension of the EEA that's on the mall property, which is the 1.95% tax that is on that things purchased on that property. Mm-hmm. The developers came back and asked for extension late last year. The council ultimately approved the extension in February of this year. There was a provision in there that in that EA contract that related to the drainage of a new mixed-use building they were planning to build on the area that is right next to the Abbey Tile facility on Francis Street. And there's kind of a green space out there right now, mm-hmm. planning to build. And as developments often go, the funding that they had secured for that building went away. The people changed their mind, decided they didn't want to do that. And so the developer said, well, we don't really have we're not going to build that building right now because until we find another investor. But there was a provision in the contract that said that we would create a drainage contract with the city by May 1st. And the developer realized that they were out of compliance on that agreement because they hadn't developed this contract. Well, honestly, it had kind of left all of our minds because the building wasn't even a discussion point right. anymore. So there's no need to build drainage for a building that doesn't exist. And so, and so they came back and said, well, we're having some issues with the bank and the bond. Can we get this resolved? And could we just, so I said, well, why don't we just change the date or just change it to when you build a building, you have to have this contract sort of thing. And,
good idea.
Yeah. And some of the council members didn't feel that was an appropriate move. They wanted something more firm, which is a perfectly valid opinion and to have. And mm-hmm. so we got to looking at what the drainage is like in that area and what really caused, because subsequent throughout this period of time, we had a couple big rains, and unfortunately it caused some car flooding kind of in what is now the District 177 parking lot. So naturally folks said, well, can we figure out how to solve sort of both these problems? Because we don't want to have a new building add to the drainage right. problem, because the green space now just absorbs water, so it doesn't contribute to the problem. But as soon as you pave that, it would then create yep. a larger problem. So Brent, who's our city engineer, is probably tired of getting phone calls from me, but over the last couple mm-hmm. weeks, we've kind of worked through some ideas. We're continuing to work through some ideas. And what the council ultimately did last night was said, okay, we're going to go ahead and let this proceed, because the developer informed me on Monday that they, in fact, plan to proceed with building the apartment building now. They've found another investor and they're ready to proceed.
Oh, that's good.
That's good news for the community. So it changed the scenario a little bit. So we said, well, we should be able to put a date on this agreement. So in essence, we're changing the May 1st date to December 1st. So we have to have this drainage solution contract in place by December 1st of this year. And as long as that is there, then they can proceed with the process. And that gives the city engineer a couple months to figure out what a reasonable, cost-effective solution is for drainage of the whole area. Because as we expand mm-hmm. Francis Street to the east, which we're doing, we're going to talk a little bit about it here in a second.
Yep.
Francis Street will become a more main street in our community. And when we do have some significant rain, we get some pooling in the intersection of Francis and Cottonwood, as well as the intersection of Francis and Poplar. And if we're looking at somebody coming down that street at 30, 35 miles an hour, possibly at some point in the future, you don't want them hitting a giant pool of water. It's not going to be a safe deal. So we think we really need to figure out how to fix this whole area. It's no criticism to the people who developed that area, but it grew in little chunks over a long period of time. So the problem has just gotten worse over time.
Okay.
So that's where we are.
Okay. Then the next few items, as you mentioned, dealing with the new paving districts to extend Francis Street, ultimately going all the way to Devco Avenue is what it'll wind up, right?
Yes. Well, eventually it will go clear out and hit Newberry, but we probably won't get the second half of that built until 2026.
Okay. And so everything on that moving forward, basically...
It is, yes.
And are there any more steps that the council have to take to make that final, or?
The paving districts are created. Item number 8, we awarded the paving contract for the, I'm going to call it roughly the first half of Francis Street. It's not quite half, but it's roughly the first half. That'll take it from where it ends today out to DevCo, and that was awarded to Paulson Contractors, who's a Paulson Inc., who's a longtime contractor in our area, and they do a fantastic job. So we would anticipate the first half of that street to be in place before winter of this year.
Before winter. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Going to start seeing things happen. We like that. 10, you approved a resolution for a micro-TIF project for Danlex Property Group.
Correct. Danlex Property is a company that purchased the what was a motel out there just off Rodeo Road and Bryan, or excuse me, Rodeo Road and Adams, and on the north side of town. And we've talked about this one a couple of times, and we finally approved the micro TIF resolution last night. So they'll be moving forward with their project.
Good to know. And then any hit the highlights on 11 through 14 there.
11, we discussed quite a bit last time. That's the requiring the conditional use permit for sexually oriented businesses in an I-1 district. Right. So that was a second reading on that item. We didn't have anybody from the community show up, or the council indicated they had received no calls on this. So I anticipate it would pass without issue on the next council meeting.
And we don't have any sexually oriented businesses in North Platte right now. This is just to have something in place in case somebody approached you with that type of business, basically.
In an I-1 district, that is correct.
Right.
Yes. Authorize and approve request to purchase a new street sweeper. So we'll be doing that. One of the ones that we have is almost 20 years old, and we can't get parts for it anymore. So we need to go away.
Where have we heard that before?
Yeah, that's right.
That's how they make you buy newer stuff. You know, mm-hmm. We're not making parts for it. You have to buy newer. And then the resolution, authorizing the issuance of one warrant, all the warrants to different businesses.
Those are warrants to different contractors in general, mm-hmm. and a couple of the Nebraska Department of Transportation relating to Jeffers Street reconstruction. And then item number 14 is discuss request by North Platte Regional Airport to handle kind of their funds distribution process. Like a lot of taxing entities, they receive their flow of funds is kind of static. The only thing that are not very static, I say it varies drastically throughout the course of the year. And that causes the airport to maintain its operational budget to actually go borrow money, which they pay back every year, but they're paying interest on tax dollars. So we're trying to come up with a way to minimize that expense. And so the council had a discussion. We're going to try to create a contract whereby the city distributes money to the airport to sort of equalize their budget over the course of a year. And then once or twice a year, the airport will pay the city back plus a small handling fee. And this will ultimately reduce the levy needed by the airport slightly because they won't have to pay regular bank interest.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's an efficiency and a tax saving measure, but it's a pretty small amount of taxes.
Okay.
So.
Anything else out of the meeting that we need to know?
I think that's probably enough, don't you think?
Well, you said it was 3 hours, so that kind of explains. Getting a hint of what you went through last night, just touching on the highlights.
It is, but a lot of people tell me that an indication of a community that's doing well is when you have long council meetings, because it means there's things happening. It means people are participating in the community. They want to see things happen. They're out there making things happen. So while sometimes that's pretty long, 3 hours, I'm okay with that. It's what I signed up for.
It's well worth it when you know you're making decisions on moving the community forward, and more businesses, more development happening, and I'm sure Gary Pearson would be on the same exact thought line.
He's often the one that tells me that, yes, but there are others that mention it.
Mayor, thanks a lot. Appreciate you coming in, and enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll see you here in a couple weeks.
Have a great day, everyone. Thank you.